Okay, we're going to start on Yud Aleph Amud Bet. We were talking about Mitanim L'Sha'ot. So we had this halacha, just to go back a little. I think we did this, but I'm going to go back to about 12, 13, 14 lines from the top of the page. Amar Bizera Amar Rav Huna. Yachid Shekibel Rav Ta'anit Afilu Achal V'Shatak Kol HaLayla L'machar U'mitpalel Tfilat Ta'anit. Okay, if you took a fast, you said Sunday afternoon, you're going to take a fast upon yourself. We're going to get to that later. What does it mean to take upon fast and when you do it? But he says Sunday afternoon, tomorrow I'm going to fast. He fasts all day Monday. He goes to sleep Monday night without breaking his fast. And in the morning, he wants to know, can he say Anenu? Because he's still fasting. So what does he say? Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Huna, it's passed down, that Lam B'Ta'anito, in other words, he says, Eino mitpalel shel ta'anit. The next day, right, the following day, even if he's still fasting, he doesn't say Anenu. So now there's a...
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Is this a fast from you know, the morning, or is this a 24-hour fast?
Okay, so I didn't explain the first part, because really I want to go into the next part. There's two things. There's the Yachid Kibel Alav Ta'anit. So he takes upon himself a ta'anit Sunday.
Yeah.
Right here, Sunday. Now, when does his fast start?
Monday morning.
His fast starts Monday morning. So the first part is talking about when he takes the fast upon Sunday, and then Sunday night, there's Arvit. Does he say Anenu in Arvit? So here, there's a bit of a difference of opinion. We talked about this yesterday. The Yachid Shibel Alav Ta'anit Afilu V'Achav Shatak Kol HaLayla, meaning Sunday night. L'macharu Mitpalel Tfilat Ta'anit. Now, some people, which means basically Monday. Monday, he says Anenu. And we said that he says Anenu in Shacharit, in Mincha. The whole day Monday, he says Anenu. Now, one opinion said that this word L'machar doesn't appear here. And even at night, he says Anenu in Arvit. Even Sunday night.
Even if he's going to eat afterwards.
Even if he's going to eat, because it's the day of his fast. Even though the fast doesn't start until the next morning, it's still considered a fast, even though he's allowed to eat now. So there's different opinions about whether you say Anenu in Arvit or not. It seems clear from the Gemara that you do say Anenu in Shacharit. What we talked about yesterday is that the Gaonim are the ones who came along and said, we don't say Anenu in Shacharit. And why don't we say Anenu in Shacharit? Because maybe you won't continue your fast, and therefore it'll be a lie. And then we talked about, and this is a real issue, I looked it up, but I didn't really find any answers. The minhag nowadays is people that you want to break your fast, they say dava mincha first and say anenu, and then break your fast, which goes against what the Gemara's, or at least what the Mefarshim were saying about the Gemara. Because the idea of, right, the Gemara itself from the Pshat doesn't seem to be worried that you might not continue your fast. But the Gaonim, who instituted that we only say it at Mincha time, are worried about you telling the truth or not. In other words, they say, don't say Anenu because you might not end up fasting all day. The Tzibur is allowed to say Anenu, the Shlich Tzibur, because he's representing the community and somebody in the community is going to fast all day. Now, it's a good question. What if you're in a community where nobody fasts? Are you allowed to say Anenu? It definitely, it's a possibility that you could find yourself in a community where nobody's actually going to fast. And then you have a separate question, do you say Anenu or not? I don't know how relevant that question is, but you could think theoretically there could be a situation where you would have a whole community of people who aren't fasting, and then maybe they wouldn't say Anenu, Shlich Tzibur. And then what I'm pointing out is it's problematic, or you know what people do, that they say, let me say Anenu quickly before I break my fast. And then that's all the more so because you know you're about to break your fast, in which case the Anenu seems somewhat problematic according to this. I don't know halacha lamaaseh if that really is a problem or not. And I know it's definitely the minhag that people do that, but it sounds problematic according to what we're learning.
I don't know. It just seems to me that if somebody decides that fast, he's not going to break it. So why do they have to worry so much about if he's going to break his fast?
Most people
make a decision to fast will complete the fast.
Unless they can't handle it, right? There are a lot of situations where people can't necessarily handle fasting. Imagine in those days also there's no air conditioning, there's no... Right, private fasts are also much less common here. Okay, so now... So now we get to the second part, which is what happens after the whole fast is over. He's said Anenu in his tefillah. Then, instead of breaking his fast that night, he continues to fast. Lam B'Ta'anit until he sleeps while he's still fasting. And we want to know now, Tuesday morning, Shacharit, can he say Anenu if he's still fasting? So now, Rav Yosef gives two options to understand, and Abaye ends up adding a third and saying, I agree with the third more so than the two that Rav Yosef suggested. Rav Yosef is just suggesting. He says, Amar Rav Yosef, my kasavar avuna, what does he think? What's he thinking here? Svira le emet anim l'shaot, does he think that there's no such thing as a partial fast day, which means that Tuesday, since he's going to break his fast, we assume he's already been fasting an entire day, and now he continued the second day. He's obviously going to break his fast. So does he say, emet anim l'shaot, there's no such thing as a partial fast day? O dilma mitanim l'shaot, v'mitane l'shaot, eino mitpelel tefilat tanit. But maybe he says, there is such a thing, you can take a fast for a few hours, for a partial day, but if you do, you don't say anenu. There's two things. There's a fast, and there's anenu, and they're not necessarily linked. You could have a fast, partial day, but you don't say the tefillah of anenu. Tefillah of anenu is only when you fast a full day. Those are the two possibilities he raises. Now, Abaye answers him and says, Amar le Abaye, no, you missed the point. Lo olam kasavar avhuna mitanim l'shaot. They are interlinked, and not only are they interlinked, but Rav Huna Dafka thinks that you do fast a partial day. But what's the difference between this Tuesday that we're talking about and a regular fast? Let's say I say I'm going to accept upon myself a fast to fast for half a day tomorrow, and then I would say anenu according to this. But what's the difference here? What happened to this guy? He went to sleep that night. He wasn't planning on fasting those hours. He never said, I'm accepting upon here on Sunday afternoon. He said, I'm accepting upon myself to fast on Monday. But he never said, I'm accepting upon myself to fast Monday night, right? He was talking about Sunday night, Monday. He was never talking about Monday night, Tuesday. So because of that, there were a few hours where he didn't fast. Now you could, the assumption here is when he woke up in the morning, he said, oh, wow, I'm still fasting. Maybe I'll fast a few hours more. So that's the thing. So then when he said, maybe I'll fast a few hours more, at that point, that's not, he broke his, right, he didn't have the fast from the nighttime. He didn't have that Kabbalah Hata'ani. So because he didn't have the Kabbalah Hata'ani, that's why he can't say Anenu. But had he done Kabbalah Hata'ani for half a day before night break, let's say in the afternoon of Monday at Mincha time, he said, I'm going to continue to fast through the night to tomorrow, then even till tomorrow morning, that would have been enough of a partial fast to be mechayev him in anenu. Okay, so that's Abaye's answer. Mar Ukva Ikla leGinzak. Rav Ukva came to a place called Ginzak. Bao mine, they asked him, mitanim l'shaot, o ein mitanim l'shaot. Okay, so now they're going to ask him three questions. They asked him, all right, is there such a thing as a partial fast or not? I'm going to take some sheets. Lo hava biyadi. He didn't know the answer. They asked him another question. Kan kanim shel nochrim. If a nochri had, a non-Jew had a bottle of wine. Now we know, ye nesech, that wine of non-Jews is not kosher. Now what does it mean it's not kosher? We can't drink it. Is it like meat that wasn't shechted properly? Is it that kind of not kosher? Right? It's not kosher. Why? Because they offered it to their avodah zarah. So now, and not only that, but if you think about it, right, the whole dinim of kashrut are, can things get absorbed, and how do they get unabsorbed? And so now we have these kankanim of nochrim. Asurim or mutarim? If there was wine of nochrim in them, are they treif? Like, can we not use them? They're not kosher, the kankanim? Does it treif them up or not? Usually you have to cook things to treif them up, right? Here the wine was sitting in a kankan, I don't know the exact translation, a jar. Are they asur or mutar? Lo hava biyadi, he didn't know the answer. Third question, not such a relevant one, but a question about what happened then. Bamesh shimesh Moshe kol shivat yemei miluim. What was Moshe wearing? Right? What was she wearing the day of her wedding? They want to know, right, what was he wearing the day of the miluim? What's the question? Well, Moshe wasn't a Kohen Gadol, right? So did he wear the Kohen Gadol clothes? He acted as the Kohen Gadol in the Mei HaMiluim. Remember, we learned all this about the Mei HaMiluim. He acted like the Kohen Gadol that day. So there's a few possible questions. Number one, was he treated like a Kohen Gadol, that he wore the Bigdei Kohen Gadolah? There are some other issues that the Begadim weren't sanctified yet. So how could he wear clothes that weren't, right? The whole Mei HaMiluim was to sanctify everything. So if they weren't sanctified, how could he wear them? Or there's a few different possibilities as to what the direction of this question is. But the question is, what did he wear? Lo hava biyadeh, Mar Ukva didn't know. Azil v'shal Beit Midrashah. So he went to the Beit Midrash to ask the answers to these questions. Amrule. Hilchata mitanim l'shaot. There is such a thing as a partial fast day. Like Abaye said, you can fast for half a day. Umit palalim tfilat ta'anim. And like Abaye said, and even if you fast only a part day, you can say anenu. V'hilchata kankanim shal nechuim l'achar shnemes shal chodesh mutarim. You're allowed after 12 months, you're allowed to use these bottles. Now Rashi adds here that, and this is where I'm sure you guys have heard of this. Holech tam yeh nesach, Rashi says, umutarim below iroi mayim. Aval toch yubed chodesh, tzarich iroi mayim shlosha yamim me'eleh. If it's within 12 months, you can do, right, put the water in it, and then every 24 hours switch the water. We used to do this for Pesach, although for glass. Right? Although I subsequently learned that that's dafka problematic, that it doesn't necessarily work for Pesach. But it works for certain things. Here you see it works for these kankanim of nechuim. You can put water in them for 24 hours, and then switch the water every 24 hours, 3 days in a row, and that kashers them. I don't know halakha lamasa, I don't remember all the details of when you can use this and when you can't, but here that's what Rashi says. But if you wait 12 months, you don't even need to do that according to Rashi. Okay. B'meshimesh Moshe kol shivat yamei ha'miluim. Bechaluk lavan. He wore a white cloak. That's not the big day kohanim, not the big day kunah gdola, but just a white robe. Okay? Rav Kahana matne, Rav Kahana learns that what did he wear? Bechaluk lavan she'en lo imra. Imra, according to some mefarshim, means it doesn't have a hem. And why doesn't it have a hem? We learned this before about the Begadim not having a hem. So a few reasons are given here. One is because they were worried that people might think he's going to take the money, slip it out of the Beit HaMikdash, and sneak it in the hem of his clothes. So it didn't have a hem so that no one would be choshed bo. Some people say it's because they wanted it to look unfinished. Why? Because what was going to happen? Moshe was going to do the Yemei HaMiluim and then disappear off the scene. He wasn't going to work in the Mishkan anymore. And they didn't want people to think that, oh, it was because he wasn't worthy. The whole point was that he's coming in temporarily. When you come temporarily and you don't have a hem in your clothes, it looks like it's temporary. Nobody thinks those are your real clothes. You're going to wear them in general and do the avoda. Some people say it means he didn't have, imra is wool. Because remember, the Bigdei Kuna had the shatnez in it. And these didn't have shatnez. They were different from the Bigdei Kuna. Remember, there was all machloka, which Bigadim had shatnez, which ones didn't. Okay. Different opinions. By the way, this thing about the hem and we saw this when we learned about the Bigdei Kuna also, about the Bigdei Kuna in general. They were like that. They didn't have a safa. I think it was the Kohen Gadol's cloak. Didn't have a safa also, so they wouldn't be choshebo. In which case, you see that this beged was similar. In other words, even though Chaluk Laban really isn't like the Bigdei Kohen Gadol, although it is like the ones he wears on Yom Kippurim, it also was different because it was also similar. They didn't have a hem, just like the beged of the Kohen Gadol. Amar Rav Chista. Now we're going back to this mitanim l'shaot. Hada amart mitanim l'shaot v'hu shalot ta'am klum ad ha'erev. It is a very strange statement. What does he say? He's taking Abai's response about the mitanim l'shaot, that you're mitanim l'shaot and you say anenu. You can have a partial fast, but what does he say? B'tnai, that you don't eat anything until nighttime. Well, then that basically means he fasted the whole day, right? So Amar Abaye, Hatani Mal Yatahi. That, what do you mean? That's exactly a full ta'ani. That's not mitanim l'shaot. So now what does he say? Amar Abaye, lo tzricha de'im loch imluche. What does it mean? It means he's talking about a case where he wasn't planning to fast. What does it mean mitanim l'shaot? Remember we talked about you have to have Kabbalah of the fast. Let's say you're standing on an ordinary day. You happen to have skipped breakfast. And you're standing midday and you say, oh, you know what, I already skipped breakfast. I'm not so hungry. Let me turn this day into a fast day. I can handle this. From now till sunset, no problem. That's what Rav Chista says. That's called mitanim l'shaot. It means you fasted the whole day, but you only accepted part of the day as a fast. Only part of the day had this acceptance. So that's what he means. The Amar of Chista, another thing he says, in the same vein, Kol ta'anit shalosh shaka lav chama lav shmei ta'anit. A ta'anit where the sun didn't set on the fast, meaning you didn't fast till the end of the day, is not considered a ta'anit. So now they're going to bring a bunch of kushiyot on this statement of Rav Chista. Metive, first one from a braita. Anshei mishmar mit'anim v'lo mashlimim. The Anshei Mishmar, those are the people who came to the Beit HaMikdash to work, right? The Mishmarot, the Kohanim and the Levim that would work. So they would fast, but they wouldn't have to finish fasting the whole day. They would start their day by fasting. And then if they wanted to break their fast, they were able to. So what do you see? You see that you can have a fast for a partial day that doesn't end at sunset, against what Rav Chisda said. So what do they say? Hatan l'tzi'uri nafshei ba'almahu. That wasn't a fast. That was just to suffer a little bit. It was, they just meant to abstain from eating for a little while. It's not called a fast. When Rav Chisda says a fast, that's something else. A fast, if you want to call it a fast, this is all a kind of semantics, right? If you want to call it a fast, that ends only at sunset. But if you want to have, you want to kind of suffer a little bit, you can have a partial, suffering. So therefore, it's not a question because this source isn't really talking about Taniyot. Now, it does say mitanim, so it's a little bit difficult to answer, but that's how they answer it. Tashma, another source. De'amar Belezer ben Sadok. It's probably Bar Tzadok. Okay. Ani mibnei banav shel Sinav ben Binyamin. Okay, I am from the sons of Sinav, who are the sons, really it means they come from Shevet Binyamin. And they had a particular day that was a holiday for them. I have to remember again what the issue was. It was that we actually saw this. It was the Atzei Kohanim, and there was something about... Rashi saying, there was something about them bringing a tzim, and the day they would do that was a holiday or something. I don't remember the whole details. Okay, but there was some day that was a holiday for them. And pam achat chal tishav av liyot b'shabbat. Okay, and this day that they had that they celebrated was the 10th of Av. Now, one day, Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbat, right? Going back to Rosh Hashanah, where they set the dates different, right? The months would come out different times, and sometimes it would happen before the calendar was set. The Tisha B'Av came out on a Shabbat. V'dachinu l'achar Shabbat, and they pushed it off till Sunday. V'hidaninu bo, v'lohishlimnuhu. V'pnei sheyom tov shelanuhu. And that came out on the 10th of Av, which was the day that they celebrated this holiday. And if they celebrated a holiday, they weren't allowed to eat. So what did they do? They did a partial fast.
They weren't allowed to fast.
Okay? Right, they weren't allowed to fast on this holiday of theirs. So because of that, they fasted, and they didn't finish the fast. Okay? And they also didn't make up the fast. Okay? It wasn't taken. It was taken as if they fasted, just because they fasted a partial day. So what do they say? There also was just to suffer a little bit. They weren't really fasting. It wasn't considered a fast. And there you have a little bit more of a problem with this answer because it was Tisha B'Av. How could they not have fasted on Tisha B'Av? But that's the way they answer it. Tashma de'amar Rabbi Yochanan. So each case so far, what they've said is there's in between a fast and l'tzi'uri nafshe. Now we're going to bring a third source where they give a different answer. De'amar Rabbi Yochanan ehe b'ta'anit ad shavo l'beiti. What does he say? I'm going to fast until I go to my house. So what do you see here? You can do a partial fast, right? Obviously, he didn't get to his house after nighttime. That's the assumption. So well, now they give a great answer. Hatam l'shemute nafshe mibein nasiah hava David. He just didn't want to eat in the house of the nasi, but he didn't want to insult the nasi and say, I don't want to eat in your house. So what did he say? I'm fasting today. So he said, in order not to lie, what did he say? I'm going to fast until I get to my house. And then when he got to the house of Beit HaNasi, he said, listen, I can't eat here. Sorry, I'm fasting today. And then that way he avoided having to go to Beit HaNasi. And he wasn't lying because he really was fasting. He was just fasting until he got home. Okay, so what do you see again? That's not really a fast. That was just, he said it, just to avoid eating in the Beit HaNasi. Amar Shmuel. Ko ta'anit shelo kibel alav mibeod yom, lav shmei ta'anit. Now we're talking about accepting the fast. If you didn't accept the fast from before nighttime, it's not considered a ta'anit. V'i yativ mai. So then what if you didn't accept the fast, but you fast anyway? Let's say you just ended up not eating for a day. Can that be considered a fast? Or even if you said, I'm going to fast today, but you said it today and you didn't say it the day before. So what do they answer? Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Dami l'mafocha demalya zika. It's like a thing to blow up things that has just air in it. It's like a, I don't know, how they translate a mafocha? Bellows. So it's just something that it's useless, basically. You've basically done something that has no significance whatsoever. Okay, again, you see here that a little bit of this kivun, this direction of trying to minimize fasts, that they weren't so positive on the fast. So here they're saying, if you're just going to do it without all the proper steps, don't bother. It's just a waste of your time and unhealthy for you. So it's really not a good thing. Eimat mekabele. So now if you're going to say you have to accept it, when? Rav amar b'mincha, u'shmuel amar b'tfilat ha-mincha. Okay, what's the difference between b'mincha and b'tfilat ha-mincha? B'mincha means the time of day of mincha. And here there's a machloket, whether they mean b'mincha gedola or b'mincha ketana. Some people even go so far as to say that he doesn't actually mean you have to do it at mincha time. What he really means is you don't. He's just trying to disagree with Shmuel. Shmuel said tefillah mincha, and he says no, it doesn't have to be. It could be any time before. You could do it a week before and say next week I'm going to fast. Some people understand him saying that, and he's not actually saying mincha time. It's a little bit hard in the pshat to say that, but some people say that that's really what he's saying. Shmuel says b'tfilat ha-mincha. It's actually at tfilat mincha. He has to do it in his tfilah. And if you've noticed in the sidurim, you ever notice that? In the sidur, at mincha time, there's a little section at the very end of the tfilah that says, ha-mekabel alav ta'anid, or whatever it says, right? If you want to accept the fast, say this, these words. You probably never really paid that much attention because we don't really do this kind of thing. But right, to the end, there's actually a machloket also about which part of the davening do you add it in, but the psak is really at the very end, okay, right before I think the Yehi Ratzon at the end of tefillah. So now what does he say? Amar Rav Yosef, kavatei d'Shmuel mistabra. I think it's like Shmuel, that you do it at tefillat mincha. Why? This is an interesting proof. It's not so convincing, but we'll see. Dechtiv b'Megillat Ta'anit. Remember Megillat Ta'anit? That's that list of days that you're not allowed to fast. All these days, the happy things happen to them. Lehen kol inish diyete alayu mekadmat enan yeser. Anybody who takes upon themselves the fast beforehand, okay, yeser, he will suffer. In other words, he will have to fast. Okay, he'll have to take upon himself his fast, and they explain this to mean, right, is that the way they translate yeser? He will be afflicted, right?
No, bound.
Bound, okay.
Committed.
Okay. He'll be bound, he'll be committed, right, like from La Asur, right? Matir Asurim, bound, okay? He'll be bound by what he said. So what do you see here? You have to accept it upon yourself before, right? And then you're bound. Now, it doesn't necessarily, again, maybe this is the proof why Rav says you could do it any time before, right? And Shmuel's learning from here right before. So again, what do they say? My love, Yiseratz mo bitzelo. Is it not that you're binding yourself when you're davening? That would be the most logical explanation here. And that would prove Shmuel's point. And then they said, no, lo, Yiseratz mo. Maybe it means you bind yourself by making a declaration, but yaseratzmo, now here there's two totally opposite interpretations. Either yaseratzmo means he will prohibit himself, like he'll forbid himself from eating. In other words, anyone who decides to sit in a fast will prohibit, he'll force it to be upon himself. In other words, he'll be prohibited from eating. Or, in which case, it doesn't mean, though, that you have to bind yourself by some words at mincha time in your tefillah, and it doesn't prove Shmuel. Or it means, yaser atzmo, he'll be forbidden, meaning he'll be forbidden to fast. If you take upon yourself to, if you want to fast on one of these days where it's asur to fast, then it's asur for you to fast. In other words, you can't fast. Remember, this is Megillat Ta'anit. It's all the days you're not allowed to fast. So if an individual took upon himself a fast and it happened to be on one of these days, it's prohibited for him to fast, and that's what it means. But it has nothing to do with when he took upon himself to fast. Yes?
This is such a minor fast that he can't even relate to because there were a million of these reasons.
Minor, not fast, the opposite, right? Minor holiday.
Right. But he has a very compelling personal reason to fast.
So what they're saying is do it a different day. Now we're going to see that there's a difference between a Ta'anit Yachid and a Ta'anit Chalom. Okay, we're going to see at the very end, before we get to the next Mishnah, a Ta'anit Chalom is in a different category. And a Ta'anit Chalom bypasses everything because you do it that day no matter what, because you're really in a particular unique situation. You have to deal with this bad dream you had. But any other fast, it seems they just think you should do it on a different day, if that's the case. Again, though, it depends how you understand this. Some people explain, no, it means you've taken upon, you can go against these days. And you can, if you need to take a fast on that day, you can. So it depends how you understand this Gemara. And now we're going to get a little bit into a discussion about this issue. Pliege Bahat, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Shimon Barabi. They had a machloket about this Megillat Ta'anit. Chadamar Yisar, he will bind himself. V'chadamar Ye'aser, he will forbid himself. Manda Amar Yisar Kedamrinan, he will bind himself, meaning will bind himself in his tefillah. Leman Tamar Ye'aser, Maihi, what does this mean? Titania Bebegilat Ta'anit, Kol Inish Diyete Alarim Makid Matanan Ye'aser. Okay, anyone who does this will be forbidden. Again, what does it mean, forbidden from what? Ketzad. Yachid, now they give an example. They're going to basically say, now it could go in two directions. Yachid shekibel alav sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, shokol ha-shana kula, ver'u bam yamim tovim aktuvim b'migilat ta'anit. Okay, what if, now here there's also some different explanations here. But what if you say in the beginning of the year, every Monday, Thursday, Monday, I'm going to fast. Okay, it's really every Monday, Thursday, right? Here there's a different nusach about whether it's Monday, Thursday, Monday, or just Monday, Thursday. It makes sense actually here, Monday, Thursday. Why? Because you can't take upon yourself every Monday, Thursday, Monday, because the second Monday is already the same as the first Monday. If you're saying every Monday, Thursday, then every Monday, Thursday. Right, unless you skip a Thursday, it could be, right? And the reason why they say Monday, Thursday, Monday is because there were a whole bunch of taniyot, it's called taniyot bahab, that people would do after Nisan and after Tishrei. There were some because of the holidays, and people were worried they did aperot with their chagigot, and they would fast in the beginning of Iyar, in the beginning of Cheshvan, the first Monday, Thursday, Monday. There's this whole concept of the Monday, Thursday, Monday thing. Also with taniyot tzibor. Okay. So what if you say every Monday, Thursday, and then it happened to be that there's some days that come out of Megillat Ta'anit, right, as opposed to what Shari suggested, which is, I say, tomorrow I'm taking upon myself a day, and that day happens to be in Megillat Ta'anit. That's different than saying every Monday, Thursday, and then some of them happen to fall in Megillat Ta'anit. So what do they say? So, im ve'er'u bam yamim tovim aktuvim b'Megillat Ta'anit. Im nidro kodem l'gzeratenu yavtil nidro et gzeratenu. V'im gzeratenu kodemet l'nidro tevatel gzeratenu et nidro. Now, there's a difficulty in understanding what this is. Does this mean, if you said, I'm going to fast every Monday, Thursday, but a bunch of them were days that you couldn't fast on, right? But they were all in existence already in the beginning of the year. So, and then, right, all these fasts, these days you're not allowed to fast existed. So your fast, your declaration doesn't override those days you're not allowed to fast. So you're going to now fast every Monday, Thursday, except if it's a day that they already said you couldn't. But what if during the year they say, today's a day now that we're going to celebrate whatever just happened and no one's allowed to fast. If you took your declaration in the beginning of the year, then your declaration overrides the gzerah that they're making now, that new declaration. That's one way of understanding. Some people say, if you said it in advance, you know, not knowing that it was going to, the Mondays, Thursdays were going to fall on days that they had already declared were days, then you would be able to still fast your Monday, Thursday. But if, I don't remember exactly how they translate, but if, I don't know, I don't remember 100% how it went. But if, I don't know, I'm trying to see if Ms. Rashi said, Kodam shegazru chachamim, avam shegazru. No, Rashi goes with the first. Okay, I don't remember. But there's different ways exactly of understanding it. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. So then again, the Ye'aser, it's unclear again whether Ye'aser means it's prohibited for him to fast, because it's talking about the situation where he can't override the fast, the fact that these are days you can't fast on. Or Ye'aser means he has to fast, he forbids himself, and it does override. So both explanations can work with this Hemshech of the Gemara, depending on which way you go. Tana Rabbanan. Ab matay ochel v'shoteh. So now, what about, this is actually also interesting, and it's another case where a little bit our minhag, I think, might go against what people do, let's say, goes a little bit against the pshat here. Ab matay ochel v'shoteh. If we're talking about a fast that only starts in the morning, what time of morning? So two different opinions here. Ad Sheyaleh amud ha-shachar. Okay, that's dawn. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon omer ad krot ha-gever. When the rooster starts crowing, which is even before dawn. Okay? Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela shelo gamar su'dato. This is something very interesting. This is only if you're still eating. I don't know who's eating all night long until daybreak. But okay. Only if you're still eating. Aval gamar sudato eino ochel. You're not allowed to eat early in the morning if you finished your nighttime meal. The only reason we allow you to eat all night is because you're still eating. We allow you to basically eat dinner and continue eating dinner. But once dinner is over, you're done. Eitive Rava asks a question, though. It says, Gamar va'amad hareze ochel. If it says you finished eating and you got up, you can still continue eating. So by answers, no, hatam kishalosi, like, that's when you're still in the vicinity of your meal, you haven't removed the table. Remember with Pesach, they removed the table, that means they cleared off the dishes, in our terminology. Ikadam, where some people said the whole discussion with Abaye and Rava went differently. The Amar Rava, there was Abaye made a statement and Rava asked about it, here it's Rava. Rava says, lo shanu ela kishalo yashen. It only relates to when he didn't go to sleep. Aval yashen eino ochel, but if he fell asleep already, then you can't eat, right? This totally goes against what we do, that people wake up early in the morning and fast, okay? Eitive Abaye, Abaye asks, yashen va'amad hareze ochel. It says, if you went to sleep, there's a braita that says it, and you got up, you're allowed to eat. Hatam b'mitnam neim, that's if you only dozed. But once you really go to sleep, that's it. What's the difference between dozing and going to sleep? Once you doze, if you doze, you don't have hesech hadad. You're kind of still in before having fallen asleep. But once you really fall into a deep sleep, you're finished. You're done. And you're already into the next day. And the next day, it's a fast. Hechidami mitnam neim. What is mitnam neim? What's the stage of mitnam neim? We saw this before in the past also. Amrav ashi, nim velo nim, tir velo tir, dekarule, va'anu velo yada ahadure sfar. It's, he's sleeping, but he's not sleeping. He's up, but he's not up. And it's called, when they say, if they call to him and he answers, but he doesn't know what they're talking about. Like, let's say you're in shir and you fall asleep, and then I ask a question and you don't remember what I was talking about. But as soon as I remind you, I refresh your memory, you can answer then. You remember, because you were only half asleep. Okay, now what's the issue according to this? So what we do seems to go against this, because we wake up, some people wake up and eat. So according to some sources I saw in the halakha, it seems that you can only, according to some people, you can only do that if you had intent when you went to sleep that you were going to wake up and eat, which a lot of people do. Right, because then at least you have this concept of you're continuing, you had intent. So what if you actually didn't have intent according to that and you happen to just wake up really early and say, oh, I woke up early, I'll eat something. So there's a bit of a question whether you can actually do that or not. There's a machlok at whether you can actually do it. Anyway, interesting. Like, we never would have really thought of that. Everyone assumes the fast starts then, regardless of what your thoughts were the night before when you went to sleep. But here you see that the ability to eat in the morning is really somewhat connected to a connection to when you went to sleep and what your intents were. Okay. Amarav kahana marav. Yachid shekibel alav ta'anit asur bini ilata sandal. Chayshinan shema ta'anit sibur kibel alav. Now we have an issue here. Taniot Tzibur had the status, again, what are these Taniot Tzibur? We call them, they're not Tanit Tzibur like your Zayin B'Tammuz and Asara B'Tevet, that we call nowadays Tanit Tzibur. Tanit Tzibur, when they refer to Tanit Tzibur, they mean a Tanit that the Tzibur took upon themselves because there was no rain. And the second Hamor level, right? When we said Ein Gozrim to Ein Taniot Tzibur B'Babel, it doesn't mean they didn't fast Shavas and B'Tammuz and Asara B'Tevet, right? It means that there's no Chumrah of having to start the fast at night and the Chamisha Inuyim of Ni'ilat HaSandal and Tashmish HaMitah and all that, Nisicha, Rechitza, all that is only in the Taniot Tzibur for the rain and Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So now, what do they say? What if you take upon yourself a Tani? What level of Tani are you taking upon yourself? Are you taking upon yourself a serious level, right, that everything's Asur? Or are you taking upon yourself just a real, a regular tani yachid where you're not assuring these things? So Rav says, since we don't know, maybe he took upon himself a tani tzibur. In other words, if he didn't specify, what does it count as? That's the issue. So since he didn't specify, according to Rav, you have to assume the worst, that maybe it's a tani tzibur, and therefore he can't wear leather shoes. Hechil yavid. So what should he do to avoid this problem? Amar Rabba Bar Shila lemahachi. He should say this. Lemachar ehelefanecha bit ta'anit yachid. He should specify, I'm taking upon myself a ta'anit yachid. And once he defines it as a ta'anit yachid, then he doesn't have to worry about nilata sandal. And obviously all the other things. Amrule Rabbanan leRav Sheshet. The rabbi said to Rav Sheshet, Haka chazinam Rabbanan de misayim emisanayu, va'atu lebe ta'anita. They said to Rav Sheshet, now you have to understand the context of the story, Rav Sheshet is blind. They said to Rav Sheshet, there's all these people who were, we saw, HaKachazinam, we saw these rabbis that wear their shoes on public fast days. Okay, so how could this be? Ikpid, he got very angry, right? Because remember, he doesn't see what anybody's doing, so he didn't realize this was going on. Ikpid ba'amar lehu dilma mechal nami achal. Maybe they're also eating. In other words, if they're not doing nilat ha-sandal, maybe they're also not fasting. In other words, what do you know? Don't take any example from these rabbis. They're not doing anything, basically. Abaye v'rava ma'ayle be'misayme apanta. They would wear, now here there's different explanations. It seems they would wear their shoes either upside down so they wouldn't be walking on the leather soles. They would do some sort of change. Okay, the next group we're going to see, Miremar Marzutra, Mechalfe Diamina de Lismolo de Smola Limina. They didn't exactly not wear leather shoes, but they did some sort of a shinoi in their wearing of shoes to make it noticeable that they weren't doing, okay, either they wear their shoes upside down, or here they switch their shoes from right to left, or they, there's different explanations about it. The point is they did some sort of a change with their shoes to show a siman, but not that they really didn't wear leather shoes. Rabbanan de Rav Ashi nafke ki orchayhu. The rabbis in the house of Rav Ashi went in regular shoes. Why? Savre ki hadam Shmuel, they held like Shmuel, ain ta anit zibor bebavel ele tishaba av bilvad. That we're living in Bavel, there's no such thing as taniot zibor anymore. So when they would do a tanit zibor, it didn't have the chumrah, and therefore they would go wear regular shoes without an issue. It seems these other rabbis, why they were doing this shinoi, was because they knew that ain taniot zibor, they agreed with Rav Ashi, again, Rav Ashi was later than them, but they agreed with that approach, that ain tanit zibor bebavel, but they wanted to have some sort of, right, siman that when there are tiny otzibor, like in Eretz Yisrael, or in the time where there were, where, you know, they didn't do ni'ilat ha-sandal, and therefore they did some sort of a change to make a statement. Maybe, but not that they really like thought you couldn't wear.
You know,
could be solidarity. Yeah, I don't know.
That we're with you.
Right.
Because they can't, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Could be. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Love adam ta'anito poreya. What if you're fasting and you decide you can't really fast anymore, you don't want to fast, you can basically take a loan out, okay, and pay it back some other time, right? You're in the middle of fast, you know what, I changed my mind. What do? You fast a different day. You take a different day and you fast that day. Kia marita kame de Shmuel. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda said this in the name of Rav. But when Rabbi Yehuda came in front of Shmuel, Amar li, v'chi neder kibel alei, delo sagi delo mashalem. What, you think saying I'm going to fast is like taking a neder, that it can't be that you're not going to do what you said, right? A promise you have to keep. When you said I'm taking a fast, Shmuel doesn't really see that as a promise. Okay? Let's see right now, Sheki Belele. I matze, mitzar nafshe. I lo matze, lo mitzar nafshe. So what's he saying? You really just took upon yourself to afflict yourself. In the end, you couldn't handle it, so you stopped. But that doesn't mean that you have to pay it back some other time. You said I'm going to afflict myself. You weren't successful, so okay, so you move on. Now, Shmuel, if I remember correctly, is it a neder or isn't a neder? Is that what you're saying?
It's just the intention.
Well, that's the question. Is it or isn't a neder? That's exactly what we're going to see here. There's two different opinions about it. I just want to remind you, Shmuel is the one who said, Kol hayoshev b'tani nikra chote. So remember, that was his whole approach. He doesn't think that it's a good thing to fast. So he certainly doesn't think, if you see a person who can't handle the fast and has to say, I'm going to pay it back some other day, that's really not for him, right? He's saying, don't do that. You were just kind of trying to afflict yourself, which anyway, I don't really approve of. And therefore, if you can't handle it, then don't do it again. Okay, it makes perfect sense in the context of Shmuel. Okay, the second girsa of this story isn't going to make it, of this what happened here between Rav Yehuda and Shmuel is not going to exactly fit as well with Shmuel. Ika de Amre, some people say it went like this. Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Love Adam Tanito Uporea. Kia Marite Kame de Shmuel, when I said this in front of Shmuel that you have to make up your fast, Amar li Pshita. Obviously you have to make up your fast. Lo Yehe Ela Neder Nadar. Right? So in other words, obviously, Milo Matze Bai Lishlume Umezal. In other words, isn't it obvious? Right? If he can't do it, he has to do it for a different day. Okay? And then the conclusion of this being basically sort of different from what Shmuel said before. Just want to see one thing here. Okay, I knew I wasn't explaining this right. Okay, he says here, Shmuel is the one who says, right, didn't he already take a neder? And then the answer to this question of Shmuel is, Milo matze bai l'shlume omezal l'machar liyom achrina. In other words, they're saying that, maybe I'm reading this wrong. One second. Even so, next day. Oh, sorry. No. I said it right the first time. Is it not, in other words, isn't he required to repay it? And then Shmuel is basically saying he is required to repay it. And then you'd have to say that according to Shmuel, while it's true that anyone who says I'm going to take upon myself fast is a chote, but once he does it, he's stuck. In other words, he has to do it. Shmuel isn't willing to say, well, if you couldn't handle it, don't handle it. In other words, you did it. You put yourself in this situation. You made a promise. You have to do it. So Shmuel is basically saying, why are you even telling us this? It's obvious. Okay? So the way I explained it the first way is actually the right way. Okay.
Is Shmuel saying yeah. in the same sense that they try to deter people from doing his evil too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly. That's what we learned. Yeah, that was yesterday. That was all of it. He learns it exactly from the Nazir. That's where it's learned out from. It's learned from the Nazir.
That if you do decide to become the Chote,
then you have to do it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Have to go
right.
With it.
Right. Although, in the first reading, you could say that Shmuel sees it a little differently from a Nazir, and it's not really a Neder. It's not exactly the same strength. It doesn't have the strength of a Neder like a Nazir does.
On the other hand, a Neder is only when you say Ani Noder. You have to actually declare.
Right, exactly. And how much of this is a declaration of a Neder? Okay, let's try to go on a little bit more. Rabbi Yehoshua Bered Rav Idi Ikla Lebe Rav Asi Avdulei Igla Tilta. This is a great story. They brought in front of him an egel meshuleshet. Okay, there's a few different interpretations, but whatever it is, it's like a third year egel. It's a very good piece of meat. Okay, they bring a piece of steak before him. Amrlei Lit Omar Midi, go eat, enjoy. Amrlei B'Tani Taya. Yatibna, I'm fasting, I can't eat, right? You imagine this big steak right in front of him, it's so enticing. He says, I'm fasting. So Amrulei, they say to him, Velozif Marvalifra, why don't you just take a loan on this fast and make it up some other day? Lo Savra Marla, Hadamar of Yehuda Marav, Lova Adam Tani To Perea, don't you know that? So Amr Lehu, and here it's what I said before, Ta'anit Chalom Hu. I took upon myself a Ta'anit Chalom. What? We've seen this before? Oh yeah? I don't remember. Could be. Let's see. Shabbat Yud Aleph. There you go. It's in Shabbat. Okay. I didn't remember. Very nice. Okay. So you remember that steak thing. Okay. So I'm joking.
I just remember that.
I'm joking. Okay. So he takes upon a tani chalom and the Amar Rabba Bar Machasya Amar Rab Chama Bar Guri Amar Rav. Yafet tani chalom ke'esh l'ne'oret. A tani chalom is like fire to the chaff, that it burns it right away, right? In 2 seconds, it'll burn away. That's how you get rid of your bad dream. It just burns it away, having a fast. Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista Amar. Ve'amar Rav Chista, ubo bayom. And you have to do it on that day. Okay, going back to what I told Sharia before. Ve'amar Rav Yosef, afilu b'Shabbat. And even on Shabbat. And here's a really interesting thing. My takante, what do you do if you take a tani chalom on Shabbat? You're really supposed to eat on Shabbat. So what do you do? Leitiv tanita l'tanita. You have to take another fast to get rid of that fast. You know, to atone for the fact that you had to fast on Shabbat, you take a new fast. Okay, we'll end here. Tomorrow we'll start with the new Mishnah about the second slew of taniyot. Okay, and the third. And we'll see, how chamor it gets and what you do even after the third slew of taniyot don't help you either. Then what do you do?
You mean in a Tanit Chalom?
No. Now the Mishnah is back to the Reish. We had the first slew of Taniyot from Yud Zayin Mar Chachman, the three. And then what if you get to Rosh Chodesh Kislev? And those were the light ones. And now we're going to see they get heavier. And then even heavier as time goes on. And what if you get to Nisan and it still hasn't rained? Then you have the problem that it's bad if you ask for rain in Nisan. So how do you deal with that?